To the passage we read, John chapter 18, and I'd like to read again at verse 37. The words on the order of service are from this verse. Verse 37. Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." At this time of year, it's a custom in countries that have some Christian history and heritage to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to be feared that very often many, many people have no idea why they're having parties and why they're enjoying themselves and why they're living all kinds of foolishness. And there's no signs, really, of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not here to condemn other people. We're here to worship God and pray that the Holy Spirit will teach us. And as we are at this customary time of year, that we will have a biblical answer as to why the birth of Jesus is so important and what it means to us. In this verse here, we have Jesus' own answer to us and Jesus' own explanation as to why it is that his birth was and still is so important. "You say, I am a king. For this purpose I was born." He was born to be a king. He was born a king. "And for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." So I would like us to look at these two things. We may not do them both, but certainly the first one, as best we seek to do by God's grace, born to be a king. Now, every one of us was born. In fact, every member of the human, every human nature was born that ever appeared on the earth, apart from Adam and Eve. Adam was created from dust by the power of God, and Eve from a rib from his side. So with the exception of these two people, every other human nature on earth was born. There's no other way, there's no other answer to how we appear on the earth. So what is Jesus saying when he says, "I was born"? He's telling us what each of us could say. "I was born." But you have to look at the context in which Jesus is saying this. And birth, the birth of a child, is a wonderful event. It's a sequence of things, a conception and then a birth. And it's a procreation, but it's not a miracle in that sense. It's wonderful, it's a cause for joy, and all of these things. So, what Jesus is saying to Pilate is, "For this purpose I was conceived and I was born." And there are two things there. There is a miracle and there is a mystery. I don't believe that in that sense, I don't want to be splitting hairs as we say, but I don't believe in that sense that the birth of Jesus itself was a miracle. The conception was the miracle. The birth is the mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. So we come to look at Jesus and we see that here is a person who when he answers this question and he says, "I was born," he is saying much, much more and something totally different from what you would be saying and what I would be saying. Because as far as we know, each of us was born as a natural sequence of conception and then birth. But what Jesus is doing, I think, when he says this to Pilate is he is asserting his humanity. I was born. And he goes on to affirm his belief in the truth and commitment to the truth. I was born for this purpose. I was born. I've come into the world to bear witness to the truth. So here is Jesus saying to Pilate, I was born, and you've got to stop and think, how was I born? And you've got to stop and think, why am I in the world? And these are two things that must become, in their own way, directly or indirectly, essential parts of our Christian faith and spiritual understanding of Jesus as our Savior. You notice what Jesus has just said to Pilate. Way back then, verse 33, he said, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord? Or did others say it to you about me? And I think that is very interesting, and it ought to get our attention, because Jesus is saying to Pilate, are you interested in this yourself? Are you really interested yourself that I am here and I'm a king? Or are you just saying it because someone else has come and put this on to you? And it's good and essential for you and for me that we stop and we come to have our own convictions by the Word of God and by the Spirit who Jesus is. That he is indeed a king. I read yesterday, and Catherine read again this morning, you know, 1,000 babies have been born and become kings, but only one king became a baby. One who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Here he is, and he's saying this to Pilate, and Pilate should stop, and Pilate should think. Others had said it to Pilate. And Pilate said to Jesus, am I a Jew? He wasn't a Jew. It's your own nation and the chief priests, the religious people who delivered you over to me. It's your own nation. And that holds out and reminds us of what you read there in John, the Gospel of John chapter 1 about verse 12. He came to his own and his own received him not. Jesus came, but his own people rejected him. He would say, a prophet is not without honor except in his own house, among his own people. And there is Jesus, and he's speaking from experience, as it were, and he's saying this to them. And later on in the story, here is Pilate, and the Jews have set a trap because Pilate is a spineless leader, and he's not prepared to wait and get the answer from Jesus and to explain to him what it's all about. But they say, if in verse 12 of the next chapter, if you release this man, you're not Caesar's friend. And Pilate knew he better stay on the right side of Caesar. Pilate knew, I don't want to have an uprising here. Someone else coming along and saying he's the king of the Jews, because I've got this jurisdiction over these Jewish people, and I must keep them under control, and they're not going to have a king of their own. But you see, someone has made the observation that here are the Jews, and they set this trap for Pilate. But Pilate got vengeance on them by getting them to renounce their God-sent Messiah. God sent his son and called him Jesus. And here they are saying, we have no king but Caesar. And here is God's sent king to be their Lord and their king. So we come and see then, what purpose was Jesus born? He was born to be king. You say, you might say, you say what I am. You say that I am a king. Not the kind of king that the Jews were looking for. I don't look like a king. I think I mentioned on the lunch club on Wednesday, the child Jesus, he wasn't in some royal palace, and with all the Moses basket and all these things and all the trimmings, there he was lying in a manger, and he didn't have the appearance of a king, but he was the same king, and he was the same king on the cross. He didn't look like one. Because, as he says here, we'll see in a moment or two, my kingdom is not of this world. It's a different order altogether. Jesus is saying, I have a kingdom. And he refers to there in verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not from this world. It operates differently from the world and the ways of the world. He has servants, he has soldiers, but they are soldiers who are to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. That's the kind of kingdom he has. And it's a kingdom that he describes himself as a kingdom that advances in accordance with prayer, the Father's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And so he taught the disciples to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. The conquering on the part of the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, is not by warfare, it's not the edge of the sword, it's by the work of the Holy Spirit in the human heart. So we become God's workmanship in Christ Jesus. Are you there? Is that the hope you have? That you are there? I hope it is. That's the hope I have. That I'm not just standing here, but that I'm a Christian. Made so by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord coming through by His grace where sin reigned unto death, that grace would reign through righteousness unto life eternal. And he tells us that his kingdom, he said, is not of this world. It's of a different order. It's righteousness and it's peace and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is saying, these are the things that are important to the kingdom of God. And our experience of the kingdom of God and our becoming part of the kingdom of God. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not great numbers. It's not the acclaim of men and the pomp and ceremony that pleases the world. But righteousness. That we are put right with God. I had a very interesting comment the other morning. Someone being interviewed on TV. Last Monday morning, about loneliness. And calling in different experts who are dealing with people. And loneliness is a very real issue. And someone at the end, they said something which I don't know if they grasped the enormity and the truth, indeed, of what they were saying. They said, people are lonely because of a relationship they've lost or a relationship they've never found. And isn't that what it is? We're lonely because we've lost our relationship with God. The God who says, I will be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We've lost that. And we haven't found that other relationship, that new one, in which He sends the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And we cry, Abba, Father. You haven't found that yet. No wonder you're lonely. Now God has made us as social beings and we like the company of one another. We want company, but we need time alone with God. And no matter what relationships we have on earth, if we don't have this vertical relationship, this relationship with the God of heaven, we're lonely. We're alone. But when we have this relationship, when we're put right with God, when we have the righteousness and the merit and the accomplishments of Jesus Christ who triumphed over death and the grave, when we have these made over to us and we're brought into God's family, we're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and we're among God's people.
but in His kingdom. And that calls on us to live in a certain way. And then you find Paul writing to the Holy Spirit through Paul, writing to the Thessalonians. And in the first letter, chapter 2, he calls them in this way, "We exhorted and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who has called you into His own kingdom and glory." When we come into our right relationship with God and we have the spirit of adoption, which is Father to Him, then we are to live as His children, as His word calls us to have our conversation, our lifestyle, as becomes the gospel of Christ and in His kingdom. In other words, we'll be sold out for Jesus. And then it's not just righteousness in the sense we're into a proper relationship with the righteousness of Jesus imputed to us, but His Spirit coming to work in us, so we walk in the Spirit and we live the life that is pleasing to God. But then He says here, it's peace, righteousness and peace. What a disturbed world we live in. News is invariably, not always of course, but for the most of the time, the news is, it's bad news. Good news doesn't sell newspapers. Doesn't even sell church magazines either. It doesn't. Bad news. People who've got an insatiable appetite for bad news. And there's disturbance and there's disquiet, and there's a lack of peace. And then here is the one who was born to be king, and he's the Prince of Peace. And he has come to triumph, he has come to conquer. He is the one who has come as the seed of the woman to crush the head of the serpent. And here he has now come, and he's Emmanuel, he's God with us. And he's got the victory, and he'll have the victory in you and in me. The victory that overcomes the world, even your faith and trust in him, enabling you to walk with him and find peace in the midst of the storm. But to have that peace, you need to have the truth. Truth is more important than peace. Too often I fear the church has compromised for the sake of peace and sacrificed the truth. And what peace can there possibly be when truth has fallen in the streets? But you can have peace if you have truth, first of all. Truth was met with mercy. Righteousness and peace have kissed one another in Christ Jesus. And you can have, and you must needs have, or you'll never see the glory of heaven, but at a distance from the outside. You won't get a drop of cold water to soothe your tongue. But here is the Prince of Peace. Here's the one who says, "Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And then he says, it's joy in the Holy Spirit. No, sin brings trouble. The way of transgressors is hard. Sin brings sadness. But the grace of God brings the joy and gladness. A joy that we cannot adequately describe. It's indescribable. It's full of glory. But there it is. We discover our own weaknesses. We discover this kingdom of which Jesus the King, it derives from heaven, but it has its historical advance and development in this world. If we're not into it here, as the kingdom advances around us and we're brought into the kingdom, out of darkness into the marvelous light of the kingdom of Christ, we're not going to be in it. Because its historical its growth is here. And that's why Jesus taught the disciples to pray, "Our Father, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." I think that's a good prayer for you to have, me to have. Lord, may your kingdom come, may your kingdom advance within myself. that every thought will be brought into subjection and submission to Jesus. And in our seeking to live the Christian life, we discover just how weak, how unable we are to do that. I'm just going to stop here, and not tonight, but perhaps some other time we'll look at the other part of the verse. But I'll finish with this quote here from, it's the law of grace that we discover our own weaknesses and discover the riches of Jesus. John Owen said, "We recognize it is impossible for us to perform a duty in our own strength. We discover the secret of its accomplishment. It's in Jesus Christ." And we who are believers, men, women, young, old, it matters not what age, it's to God's glory and for our own good that we submit ourselves day and daily to the King, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I hadn't read this before, but I came across it last night. And I'll read a couple of verses and then we'll have a prayer. "Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Lift high the cross of Christ, tread where his feet have trod, as brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God." Let's pray. Father in heaven, bless our time together, be with us the rest of today, and if it please you, Lord, to gather us together in the evening hour, that there would be light, that you would come in the power of your Spirit and do a work of grace and advance your kingdom within us and around us. Oh, what a wonderful God, what a magnificent Savior you have provided in Jesus. He is altogether lovely. And we would say, "This is my beloved and this is my friend." Oh, God, help us, bless us in all things. We give you thanks and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.